is an interview with Governor Vic Atiyeh at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is December 1st, 1992, and this is tape two, side one. In our last tape, we were talking about some of your memories of high school in that period, and the Depression. You were going to tell me a little bit more about high school. I guess really we hadn't talked about it specifically, just in sort of in passing. And I was wondering what that period was like for you. I know that you were very active in football, you probably had a number of long-term friendships that have remained from those days.
Well, we certainly did that. I have two very, very close friends, my closest friends, Jim Campbell and Tom Galt. They're now in the insurance business. Actually, Jim kind of took over his father's insurance business, although at that time it was a one-person office. And now it's a huge insurance company. I met them in high school and we remained friends. Matter of fact, our wives also were all from Washington High School. And particularly Jim and Donna, his wife, mm-hmm. Dolores and I, double dated. Tom had a few other dates in between, but also married a girl from Washington High School. But high school really was a really good time for me. Mm-hmm. Probably it was the last time in which more or less carefree, not any real responsibilities. Things were going very well for me in school. I was just, in terms of grades, an average student. But, active, class president, captain of the football team, and, in the big clubs, the clubs that pretty well known. And, when I look back, those were particularly the junior and senior years, and especially the senior year. Then from there on, really, there was always some sense of responsibility, something, that had to happen. But those were carefree days, really carefree days, and pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any subjects or areas that you particularly enjoyed while you were in school?
Well, I enjoyed to the extent they were relatively easy. That would be, I guess you call it English or writing or something in that vein. Math was a little difficult for me. I finally got math 1 and 2 or 100 and 101, but the minute you jump to geometry, they left me quickly behind. I couldn't deal with that one. And then beyond that was unthinkable.
Huh. What about any influential teachers or advisors that you had during that time that you...
Oh, I remember quite a few of the teachers, yeah. I remember certainly the English teacher. She wrote a book on the subject of punctuation, which got to be an interesting problem when I got to college, because my freshman year in college, I took English composition. And, I'm writing these themes, I guess you'd call them. And he'd correct my grammar, my punctuation. And finally I went to see him and I said, you correct my punctuation, but I took this from a teacher that wrote a book on the subject. He said, well, you're in my class now, which was an interesting observation. But he did go on to say, once you leave my class, you can punctuate any way you want. And he mentioned some other noted authors that just didn't use punctuation at all. But in my class, you punctuate my way. Well, I remember her. I remember the biology teachers, both of them. I wasn't particularly good at that, but I guess I remember because they really scared me, but they scared me because I really didn't know the subject all that well. But I remember them. And, I remember, when I said geometry, I took geometry from freshman football coach, and he was a sleepy looking guy, and when I told you I was had difficulty, he'd sit there with his back to the blackboard while some students working out a geometry problem, and I'm staring, I'm looking at it, he isn't, And then he kind of leaned back on his chair and he said, "Now what's wrong with this?" And he's not looking at it. I'm looking at it. I don't know what's wrong with it. But he does, and his back is to it. But I remember him. He was a neat guy. I guess that's pretty much it. Just nothing that I would say. Well, I'm sure I learned, when I say that, besides the academic, I learned things from people as time moved along. But nothing I can say I learned this from that person or this from that one. I can't really identify it that way.
But sports was a major activity for you, wasn't it?
I like sports. Turned out for them all. Turned out for basketball. Well, I have to give you my size. I was 215 pounds in high school. So I remember turning out for basketball. And there you just sort of sat around the basketball court and the coach would try you out. Well, after the third day, I figured he wasn't going to try me out. So that was the end of that. I turned out for baseball as a kid before I went to high school and before I broke my leg and my arm. I broke my arm, which I mentioned to you, but I also broke my leg. Graduated from Friday and broke my leg on Saturday. Anyway, after that, I just didn't have much coordination. It was strange to me. I used to be able to hit pretty well, left fielder. Anyway, we were out there trying out for baseball and fielding, and the coach was hitting balls out to us, and I was doing okay in that department. Then he said, "Okay, everybody up to bat." Well, that who needs a left fielder that can't bat? So that was the end of my baseball career. I didn't think much about track. Hadn't gone to any track meets. But again, being as heavy as I was, the coach comes up and says, "Yeah, why don't you turn out for the shot put? You know, big guys use shot put." So I went to my track meet. I wasn't on the track team, shot put, but I found out that track was a very exciting sport. I thought it was just great when I finally got there and watched it. But my success, and incidentally, I tried out for the golf team. 3 years. 3 years I was the fifth man on a four-man team. Always wanted a letter in golf, which was what they call a minor letter, but just because I was turned out for it. Never did make that one, though. Although I was captain of the team. On the last match of my senior year, he said, "Okay, you can play." So this is the first time I'm playing. And I got all 3 points, which is all you can get. And I thought, oh boy, I finally made it. But it turns out you need 3.5 points to get a letter, so I didn't make that. Anyway, football, really, when I finally boiled it down, was the game. I played fullback in freshman football, which I did incidentally on my sophomore year because of, as I told you, I'd broken my leg and I really wasn't ready to play ball by the time I entered in Washington High School. And then moved up to the varsity as a fullback. But particularly my junior year now, I was second string to the fullback. But he turned out to be all-star, all-city, and most valuable player in the city. Bob Cook, his name was. He's an architect here in town. And I didn't get much playing time with behind a guy like that. I was kicking extra points and kickoff, but you can't get many minutes doing that. Particularly, we didn't score that much. Anyway, we had 2 games to play, and our guards were all beat up. They really were. The coach came to me and said, "You want to play guard?" I said, "I want to play football." Well, from that point on, I was a left guard, and I really enjoyed it. I got enough minutes for my letter, my junior and senior year, but I stayed as guard, and I really liked that. I really enjoyed it.
And of course, later on, then you almost ended up on the Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers, yeah, that was great. That was really great. I'm fair enough to realize that was in the 40s. They were having trouble, of course, getting young men to play football during the war. I don't care how it came. Anyway, I got a telegram from Curly Lambeau for me to consider playing football. And then I got a contract. This is all from the Green Bay Packers. I got letters from New York Giants and Chicago and Cincinnati. But I got the contract from Green Bay Packers. Well, that was the year my father died. He died in July, and he didn't really want me to go. I wanted to go badly. But anyway, I didn't. So I've got a great souvenir.
Yeah.
And the Packers are my team, and someday they'll be back.
Yeah. Hey, well, anything else from high school that you recall with great fondness or significance?
Well, I made a lot of friends. A lot of friends, and we just had our 50th reunion. It was great to see, you know, a lot of the guys and the women. Although I wasn't much of a dater, I really wasn't. I was just having a good time with my friends. Went out with I suppose all together before I met Dolores. Three or four girls, all from freshman on through high school, But just, you know, enjoyed that part of it. I remember, and very vividly, when I first really noticed Dolores. This was my last half year in school, and coming into my last half year of school. Then one day, this girl comes out of the door, and I said, "Gee whiz, where'd she come from? Pretty girl." And it turns out she'd been there for 3 years already. But then I found out her name, and then I found out she was going with somebody, so well, takes care of that. And then I read in our school paper, she's not going with that person anymore. And well, okay, but I was a very bashful kind of guy. But somebody said, there was high school sororities, and they'd have dances around Christmas time. So they say, "I'll get you an invitation. You call Dolores." That's an interesting thing. I'm really getting into something interesting here. And I didn't usually do anything like that. "Will you call her?" So I'm going through, her name was Hewitt. I'm going through the book, the phone book, and trying to figure out where she might be living. And I ran into this one. Well, it's got to be this one. So I called. Man answered. I asked for Dolores Hewitt. Nobody here by that name. Hung up. And, but I sort of hung on. I said, called another one or two. I said, "It can't be. It's got to be this other one." So I called again. And anyway, we hooked up and I got a date, and that was the beginning of it. It turns out later that her father was just tired of all these phone calls at dinner time. He was just kind of testy. So when my phone call came in, he was just testy. He said, "Nobody here by that name." That's what the story was.
Almost decided the fate of history there.
It all came awful close to not being. Anyway, that from there, of course, we were going together all that time, and finally in 1944 we got married. I remember those days. They were really, as I told you before, carefree, and school came, you know, easy. I didn't really lean too hard on it. I should mention another teacher I really enjoyed. That was our French teacher, just a delightful woman. We called her Mademoiselle. That was how we addressed her. Delightful woman. She tried very hard to get me to learn French, and I did, you know, pretty well, but nothing really great. I enjoyed it, but nothing really great. No, I can't think of too many other things that relate to school. Mm-hmm. Just it was a good time. We were living in Seventh and Holiday, so walked to school. I just drove by high school the other day. Where were we? Oh, down to Eugene. You know, they've got this huge parking lot for automobiles. We didn't even think about things like that in those days. No such thing as a big parking lot for automobiles, you know. You got there by public transit, uh-huh. Not a school bus, or you walked. Rode the bike or whatever. But that's the way you got to school. So I walked by Benson High School on my way to Washington High School, and it was, you know, I'm not going to say 0 miles through the snow, you know, but it was still a fair piece, I suppose. Gosh, I never thought about it in terms of distance, maybe a mile or so, maybe a little further, I don't know. We'd have to walk from Holiday, 7th and Holiday, down to 12th and Stark. So it was probably could be a mile or something like that. Anyway, those were good times.
Were there any experiences at that point that in your life that had a major impact on your life or the way you looked at things?
No, I try to think back and you begin to wonder mm-hmm. why certain things. I do remember some things. And then after thinking of that, I said, now why did I have that reaction? And I can't explain it. For example, I was reading the book where the blacks in the South were uneducated. And my reaction was, well, why shouldn't they be uneducated? You don't allow them really to go to good school. That was my reaction. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I mean, I had no relationship with it. You know, I have to tell you that in Holiday School and in Washington High School, we were a whole mix of people. At Holiday School, with Japanese, most of which, of course, were interned during the war, their parents. Some of the kids, we went to school with them. A lot of Italians there, we were Syrian. A lot of blacks. It was just a good mix of people. Mm-hmm. So I never thought of it in the context of the story I told you. We're just all going to school together. We're all friends. We're playing ball together. We're going to school together. And there was just nothing unusual about it. That did have some effect on my later life. That is in terms of thinking of people being very comfortable, you know. Some people have to force themselves to not discriminate. Mm-hmm. To me, it was no forcing. I mean, these were just people I grew up with. I mean, we were all on the same level, same. But I remember that. I remember that in high school. So now why did I think about that? You know, what in the world? I didn't have anything that led up to that.
It was natural for you to think that blacks might not be educated?
I just knew that they weren't getting a good education down south.
Right.
How I learned that, I don't know. But so then they were beginning to blame them for being uneducated in this book. And my reaction was, well, you know, you just don't give them good education. What do you expect? And then I said, well, now why did I think about that? I don't know the answer to it. There was shaping, but I have to tell you that lightning didn't strike. I can't tell you at this moment something happened.
Well, you know, sometimes events have a way of sticking in people's minds, and, you know, for someone in your age group, as coming to age in that period in the 40s, a lot of people remember, for instance, exactly what happened the day, the moment that they heard about Pearl Harbor, for instance.
Yeah, I do.
What happened?
I was down in Eugene at the fraternity house. I can't even remember what the weather was like. And it was sunny mm-hmm. on a December day in Eugene, Oregon. And this was in the morning. We were listening to the radio. You know, we always turn the radio on and all this music coming out. Incidentally, music, you can understand. You can understand the words, you know, Glenn Miller and all the rest of that. God, this music today, I just don't. But anyway, all of a sudden, they interrupted and mentioned that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. So that would have to been, well, it would be, what, 11? No, what's the time difference? 10, I guess, 10 and 2 hours, depending, two-hour mm-hmm. difference. I didn't think about the time. I just know it was in the morning, and I knew it was a sunny Sunday morning, and I remember that just very well, extremely well.
What was your first thought? I mean, what? How did that affect you?
Well, I can't say I just had a great deal of anger. We knew then that, of course, that we're going to be involved mm-hmm. at some point. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us were worried about the fact that we were going to be involved. The war had been moving along over in Europe. Hitler was doing his thing. We'd be fully aware of what was going on over there. Again, that was remote. That was somewhere else in the world. But nonetheless, things were going on over there. And being our age, you know, we thought, well, if anything happens, we're involved, and now it really happened. Of course, we had to go wake up guys, and a lot of fellas are sleeping in, and because this is big news. Mm-hmm. But I do recall that.
Yeah. It seemed a lot closer to home at that point then?
I hadn't much thought about that part. Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean about the war?
Yeah, with the
bombing
of Pearl Harbor.
We hadn't quite, I couldn't put it in quite those terms. It just, we knew we were going to be involved.
Right.
Some way, at some time. Then we got word this that early the following year, which was 82.
42.
42. Uh-huh. Later, I guess, in 42. Anyway, they came on the campus and they had this, what they call enlisted reserve corps. And if we volunteered to sign up, then we'd be able to stay in school till June. I had a ankle, I don't know, infection, cyst, whatever, something. We think it came from the broken leg, and I really began to play ball, and I remember it used to hurt me a little bit. Anyway, I knew it was there through high school into college. I thought, well, I'm going to go in the service, because I enlisted along with a whole bunch of folks, including my brothers. And I better get this thing fixed. So it was actually a year later, December 42. I went to the hospital, and Dr. Chouinard operated on me and bone graft. And well, but the military being what they are, we got our notice and calling us out in March. Well, I had a cast almost to my hip. And I remember, incidentally, that time, and the day came and everybody was leaving, and they all left at one time. Mm. Really cleaned out the campus. It was really something. Mm. Train pulled into Eugene, everybody got on except me, and just cleaned out the campus. So, you know, what we thought would happen that December in 1941, you know, eventually came true. Most everybody left.
Mm. How did it feel being left behind?
That wasn't very pleasant. Then I began to get my orders from Salt Lake City, the 9th Army Corps. That's what I was dealing with. So I would go up to the induction center, which is the old Elks building.
Oh, no.
Right in back of the Governor Hotel.
Right.
And so they'd give me a physical, and then they'd send the report back to Utah. And the report, well, wait, go have another physical. And I think I did that 3 times. So the 3rd time, they checked me, said, yeah, fine, okay, go home and wait for your orders. Now by this time, my brothers were in, my friends, Jim and Tom, my fraternity brother, everybody, you know, everybody was there, gone, but me. So one day in the mail, I can remember, talk about remembering, you know, in the mailbox, and here's this thing from 9th Army Corps. Wonderful. Open it up, it's a discharge. Oh, now that I didn't feel very happy about. I really was very disappointed. So I called the draft board. I said, draft me. So the following week, I'm back there, back the same place. I know these guys by now. They all know me. I know them. They said, well, we're not even going to run you through. What do you mean? And I was really quite put out. I said, wait a minute, I can type, I can do something. No, we're not going to even run you through. So then I went down to the Merchant Marines. What's your status? I said, 4F. No, we don't want you. You know, the Merchant Marines don't want you. Now you really are in bad shape. So I was really disappointed. I remember getting letters from my brothers because they'd been in basic and all. They said, well, you know, you're lucky. But of course, I didn't think I was lucky.
Right. Right.
So that was really very disappointing. And then, you know, walking around where there's no young people my age, And I'm walking, a perfectly healthy looking 215 pound guy, you know. No, I shouldn't say that. I lost weight. I was playing football about 205 when I was in college. So it was, you know, you're kind of embarrassed. You can't explain to everybody what you're doing.
Did people question your...
No, but, you know, you have this self-consciousness that you can't avoid.
Right.
And it was a curious period of time. Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned a few minutes ago that in high school that you were president of your class. Was that the first time you ran for an office?
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Well, that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I had been, we only had a president of a senior class. I think today they have presidents of all classes, but we just had senior class presidents in those days. And incidentally, as I mentioned before, those were half years.
Right.
My class was the class of June of 41. Then there was the class of January of 42 and the class of June of 42. So I'm the president of the class of June of 41. Anyway, previously we had, I don't recall, was it junior dance or something, and I was chairman of that thing. And you know, I was active mm-hmm. in school.
Mm-hmm.
Active in clubs and, you know, participating. So I ran for class president and I won. It felt pretty good. I'll tell you another story though. They had what they call an activity cup. They had one boy and one girl in the graduating class. And that would, I guess, you'd be the outstanding boy or girl. So there was two of us. It was down to two of that in terms of boys. One of them has remained my friend and we're good buddies all ever since. Well, then and since. But anyway, down to the two of us. So then I got the word. We were waiting around after school. They were going to make a decision. And that they selected me. Oh, I was excited. So I call home. My dad was home, answered the phone. Dad, what? I said, I won the activity cup. And he said, oh, that's nice. And now my reaction, you know, instead of being angry or something like that, I thought, well, you know, maybe he is right that this isn't the whole world. You know, he put it in the right perspective right at the very beginning. And again, you wonder why, you know, some people would get angry or your father doesn't understand all that other jazz I hear about today. But that wasn't my reaction. My reaction was, well, yeah, I thought it was a pretty big deal, but you know, it's nice, but this isn't one of the major events in the history of the world.
Uh-huh.
So he put it in the right perspective, and that was my reaction.
Uh-huh.
So I learned some things.
Were you involved in music or anything like that? What about any religious activities?
No, went to church, but actually not a great deal through high school. Actually didn't get really thoroughly involved in church until after I was married. Mm-hmm. And then we had my son Tom and then later on Suzanne, and I was very active in the church. Mm-hmm. Very active in the church.
You've already mentioned a little bit about the University of Oregon, but why did you decide to go to the U of O?
Now that's interesting too, because today it's so tough for kids to get into school. You have to have these huge GPAs to get in. In those days you didn't. They were glad to have somebody come to college. I visited Oregon State. I'd been invited to go play ball at Willamette University. And visited Corvallis, Oregon State University, and visited the University of Oregon. Now, I'm not sure I necessarily want this to appear in history, but it's going to anyway. I thought the streets were narrow and the campus was too crowded. So I opted for Eugene because it seemed to be more